And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And welcome, friends, to the Friday morning edition of our broadcast. Great to have you with us. Thank you for taking the time to join us, and we hope you'll get to stay with us for the next hour. If you do, we'll get things started and encourage you with a live devotional message today from the Word of God. And that, of course, will be followed up as we open the phone lines here in the Grace Hour and invite you, our listening audience, to participate. And when those phone lines are open, you can join us, friends, and you can share your thoughts with us about a theme that is really, well, it's, I think, spoken to a lot of us this week, and that is the subject of our emotions, how to make sense of all of these emotions and feelings and how we can manage them and how we can be certain that they can come under the control of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, again, we will develop that theme a little bit more today with our guest joining us in the studio, Pastor John Hadley. And, again, we'll open the phone lines and share your thoughts with us later after today's devotional message. And when the phone lines are open, here are the numbers, toll-free in all of North America. That number is 800-338-7060. Again, that is the toll-free number, friends, 800-338-7060. No matter where you are in North America, dial that number. You can join us live on the Grace Hour. For those of you listening locally in the greater Baltimore area, well, you, friends, can join us at 410-483-3700. We look forward to hearing from all of you today in the broadcast as we wrap up this week of broadcasts live on the Grace Hour. And again, we've had some great themes, some great subjects that we've, again, discussed and invited you to discuss with us throughout the week. And again, we'll put a capstone on it today for you as Pastor Hadley joins us in the studio and brings forth today's devotional message. I want to welcome everyone listening live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and those of you that have found the Grace Hour on the many platforms that we are broadcasting live on. The podcast can be heard on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, just to name a few. And we want to welcome all of you that are joining us live and thank all of you that, if you weren't able to join us live, that listened to the program a little later in the day or a day or two after. You can always, again, archive any of these broadcasts and listen to them at your convenience. So again, as I said earlier, a great theme, a great subject, one that we could probably spend weeks talking about, discussing, and developing. But we're going to wrap it up today. And Pastor John Hadley, who is one of our staff pastors here at the Greater Grace World Outreach, also one of the elders in our church, although we never think of him as an elderly man. We're grateful he's joining us live in the studio today. And Pastor Hadley, welcome.
Pastor Love, thank you. It's for good reason I'm not thought of as an elderly man, because I'm not there yet.
That's right.
But we're heading in that direction.
We are, but I like to think that that's way down the road.
Oh, yes, yes. Amen. Hello, everybody. It's great to be here. This theme of emotions, something that we are all blessed with and also plagued with. You got to have emotions. What would we be like without emotions? We would just be robotic, boring, and God didn't want it to be that way. What do we do with these downcast emotions that so frequently seem to visit us and kind of follow us through the day, weigh us down, discourage us? I like the theme of the conference in June. It was take courage. And when you take courage, you are encouraged. The two words go together. They're cousins. Take courage and be encouraged. And so I would like to start in Psalm 46, because this psalm, along with Psalm 47 seem to be like sister psalms because of a phrase that is repeated in this psalm. But before we read the psalm, I think it's good to give a little background information that actually does not come from one of the verses in the Psalms, but it actually comes from the heading of the Psalm. And this heading can be found in 11 of the Psalms. It says, to the choir master of the sons of Korah. Wait a minute now. If we have some Bible history, maybe that name in particular rings a bell. Where have I heard that name before? Korah. Sons of Korah. Korah. Who is this Korah guy? What great thing did he do? Well, no, he didn't do a great thing. He did a horrible thing. He is not known for his for being a hero, but he's known for his infamy. He was not famous. He was infamous because of his pride, I like the word hubris, his thinking of himself higher than he should have thought of himself, his sense of entitlement, and then the action that he took to he persuaded himself that he was in the right and got quite a following for intimidation factors of 250 men. And it's interesting when you look at this, the destruction that pride brings, and we all know that where that seed comes from, but from the devil himself. So this is a situation. We have Korah, and Korah was a man of great privilege. He was actually a Levite, and not only was Korah a Levite, but he was also of the Kohathites. So we have Korah, and then we have the Kohathites. The Kohathites were from Levi, and as you recall, in the wilderness with the tabernacle, under the Levites, not the sons of Aaron, they were the priests, but the Levites were divided into three different under three different sons, and they had different responsibilities concerning the tabernacle. So there were the Kohathites, the Merarites, and the Gershonites. The Kohathites really were the most privileged of the three doing this tabernacle work, because the Kohathites are the ones who transported the articles of the tabernacle. We're not talking about the curtains and the bars and the sockets and the ropes and all of that, which was privilege enough. But it was the Kohathites who got to transport the articles of the tabernacle. They could not touch them themselves, but they got to transport much of that on the bars that carried the articles. So this was no small inferior position. This was a place of great privilege. So we have Korah was of the tribe of the Kohathites. So he had this privileged position. But somehow, in the flesh, that's not good enough, because he's not looking at his privileged position. He's looking at Moses and Aaron and saying, and I believe they were cousins. So it's like, okay, this is good, but no, I want that. These guys take too much upon themselves. Who do they think they are to be over me and over the rest of the congregation? Like he said, you take too much upon yourself. So we see here that Korah, he's all riled up, and he thinks he has a legitimate case, and his emotions are not his friends at this point, but they are getting him all stirred up in the wrong way. And so what he does is he gets his 250, and he goes before Moses and Aaron, and he brings his complaint. And Moses is really sees the writing on the wall. And so what happens is they meet the next day. And so we know what happens, right? God shows up. The earth opens and swallows Korah, Nathan, and Abiram. It swallows them in their tent and their possessions. And they're gone. The earth opens, swallows them, closes. That's it. them and their stuff is gone. And then fire comes down and consumes it, the 250, and that was a very tragic day in the history of Israel. So that is Korah. But we have here, going back to this title, the sons of Korah. Now, actually, the word is descendants, because this is some hundreds of years later when the Psalms, when they wrote their Psalms, the 11 of them. But think about what it was like to be related to Korah. So anyways, I want to go over here to just to give a little clarification as this is developed, and do it quickly. In Numbers chapter 16, verse 26, Moses said, and he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be swept away with all their sins." So they got away from the dwelling of Korah, Nathan, and Abiram, or Abiram. And of course, they were summarily executed by God's wrath. So then 26:11 says this, it sheds more information on this. 26:11 in the genealogy, it says, Moses and Aaron in the company of Korah, when they contended against the Lord, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah, when that company died, when the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a warning. But the sons of Korah did not die. Oh-ho, the sons of Korah did not die, because apparently they made a critical decision in the positive when Moses said, get away from these wicked men, that the sons of Korah decided, Dad, we're drawing the line right here. We're moving away from you. And so we see here that God absolutely honored these men for making this right decision. And so here we have this psalm that says to the choir master of the sons of Korah. So these are the sons of the sons of the sons, etc., of those who backed away from their father. It seems that was the case. So what was it like to be a son of Korah? Could you imagine that first generation, the second generation? Can you imagine what they thought? Can you imagine what they felt as kids taunted them and as they're playing together and, you know, the neighbor's kid says, get away from them. You play with them, the earth's going to open. You'll be swallowed up. You know how kids are. I mean, they are marked kids for generations. But nevertheless, these guys were overcomers. And sometimes when we feel so bad, when we're so resisted, when we're so persecuted, when so much stuff happens to us, it's okay. It's okay, because it makes us get serious with God. It deepens our relationship. It causes us to cry out in our pain, like Hannah did before Eli, and her prayer was answered. Sometimes, you know, at the carnival, you ring the bell, you get the big mallet there, and you try and ring the bell and win the prize. It seems like in our prayer life, when we become so destitute, so filled with emotional turmoil, that it causes us to go deeper with God and really mean business with Him. And guess what? It rings the bell, so to speak. That God says, I have heard your prayer. I will do great things for you because you are trusting me in me. You have cried out to me and I have heard you. I know your anguish of heart, and I'm going to undertake on your behalf. So this is what we see happening. And this has gone through the generations, because we come to Psalm 46, to the choir master of the sons of Korah. You know that these guys were even part of David's mighty men, that these were the guys that David set up over the worship and the music and the singing. And these three men in particular, we have Asaph, for example, Haman, and Ethan. These three men were in David's worship, were his worship directors to lead the worship and the music of God in relationship to the tabernacle. Not only that, they were called seers. They prophesied, they sang, they led. These guys took the low road of humility in trusting in God, and God raised them up to a place that they could never have imagined. They didn't let the infamy of their great-great-great-grandfather ruin their future. They said, no, okay, that's part of my, yeah, that he's a relative. He did that. That is a horrible thing. But you know what? That's not me. That's not going to determine my life. That's not going to determine my future. But I'm going after God, regardless of what happened in the past. I am going after God, setting my face like a flint. And so we come to Psalm 46. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. They learned that personally. A very present personal help in trouble. My emotional trouble. My historical trouble. My experiential struggle. My personal history. My sins. My failures. What I've done. How I've affected other people in a negative way. If I could change it, I would change it in a second. But I can't change it. I have no option. God is my helper. God is my refuge. God is my strength. And then he says, wherefore he will not fear, though the earth gives way. Now, isn't it interesting that he reflected on that little point there? Though the earth gives way, because that's exactly what happened. The earth gave way and swallowed up his great, 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 great grandfather. Even though the worst of situations happen, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Can you imagine? It says there 1, 2, 3, 4 times, though. God wants to be our helper. He wants to be our strength. He wants to be the one who settles our emotions. And that God has designed it so that this will not happen outside of a direct connect with him. When we directly connect with him, we will find that the peace of God becomes like the keel of our sailboat, like the ballast in our ship. It stabilizes us. It passes understanding. It is present when we think, how can this be in the midst of this situation that somehow I feel it's all going to be okay. This is what God does. And so, you know, the theme goes on, but I think I'll just pause here and let these thoughts just penetrate our hearts and give us a starting point in our broadcast today.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Some good thoughts to get things started, to get us rolling in the right direction, friends. And I think Pastor Hadley has more to share on this subject matter, on this theme, but a great start in Psalm 46. And to recognize, as the writer of this psalm did initially, to understand that God is our refuge. You know, we live in a time, and we live in a day where fear abounds. It is everywhere. It's on the headlines of our news broadcasts. It's on the front page of our newspapers. These are the messages that pop up on our cell phones. It's fear. It's alarm. It's danger. And to have this psalm begin by saying, you have a hiding place. You have a refuge. And that refuge is God. And not only that, but he is your strength, and he is there to help in the time of trouble. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy And he said to him, and it was as almost as if he was writing in this year, 2022, we are living in perilous times. These are dangerous, violent days that we find ourselves living in. And our hope, really our only hope, and I think that this helps to answer the question that Job asked in, I believe, the 17th chapter in the book of Job, which is, where is my hope? Where can I find hope during these difficult, violent days here on the earth? And it's only found in Him.
I think, isolation, it does its damage. We were talking earlier about COVID and isolation, but it kind of erodes our sense of well-being, but it happens so gradually over those months that we realize on the other side of it that, well, something has been taken from me. I've lost something. And a community, God's community, is the answer for isolation. Is that we really, we can't make it, really. We cannot make it without God's people. We need the encouragement. We need the edification. We need someone to be led of the Spirit to have a word in season for us. How many times, Pastor Love, I'm sure, for all of us, that somebody out of the blue came up to us and said something that went right in the bullseye of what we needed to hear. And not only did it encourage us, it showed us that, God, you sent that person to say those exact words to me. They had no idea the effect that they had on me. But thank you. Thank you. If I didn't come here, I wouldn't have heard that.
The encouragement that you spoke about early when you started your message, and I'll just kind of look back on my notes that I was taking this morning. It starts by taking courage, and then we are encouraged, can be encouraged. And then, of course, beyond that, we have a ministry of encouragement to others. But there are times, are there not, such as David, we read about this narrative in 1 Samuel chapter 30. The city of Ziklag was invaded by their enemies. The men's wives and their children were all taken captive. And, of course, the men returned from battle and found Ziklag destroyed and burned with fire. And they just slipped immediately into emotional despair. And after a while, they began to think, well, why are we in this place? Why are we in this difficult situation? Well, it's because of David. They turned on David. They wept until they could weep no more. They found a scapegoat. This is so typical of human nature. And then we find David encouraging himself in the Lord. I mean, that is, we would, oftentimes in our lives personally, what we love to have happen is to have somebody come and encourage us. When we think of David and Jonathan's relationship, we always say to ourselves, I need a Jonathan in my life to encourage me. But sometimes God says, how about you becoming a Jonathan to somebody else's life? Yes, it may mean that we have to encourage ourselves as David did. And I love that scene. I love that story, because it's so encouraging to me personally, because there will be times when I will not find the encouragement, and the encouragement from other people may not come when I hope or need it to come. I may have to do it myself. My question is, how do we develop that capacity to encourage ourselves when our emotions begin to turn on us and could literally, just take us out? How do we learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord?
Okay, so how do I say this to make it sound fresh? Because it's the same answer all the time. I mean, Seb, am I out of the picture frame? Okay. There are days when I wake in the morning, and occasionally when I got stuff to do and I would prefer not to read the Bible. Of course, that happens. And there are some mornings when I don't have an appetite for the Bible. I got my list of things and I'm ready to charge out the door. But somehow by God's grace, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And I just have to say, Pastor Love, in response to your question, I am just never the same on the other side of that. By just going to my Bible, reading it, thinking about it, pondering it. It's a mysterious thing that happens to our soul as we expose ourselves to the Word of God. We are changed. We are changed. We're looking at the glory of God, reading about these great and precious promises. We're receiving all that we need for life and godliness, and God is doing what He promised to do, being renewed in the spirit of our mind, changing us. And when this happens on the inside, so our emotions start to somehow receive a benefit from the presence of God, and everything is kind of set back in order. It's like a morning reset, and maybe that's what the mercies of God that are new every morning are related to that.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's a great way to state it. You know, there have been times in my life, and I think that you could say the same, probably a lot of us could say the same thing, where it's time to assemble with other believers, it's time to go to the local church. And sometimes, you know, your emotions will say, no, don't want to go, not interested.
Got to cut the grass.
Yeah, lots of other reasons. Too tired. Yeah. Been a long day. But what do we do? We say to the emotions, so I'm sorry, but you don't get a vote. Mm. Okay? I know how important and how valuable it is for me to come together with God's people, to just to see their faces, to be encouraged by them, to provide some encouragement for some of them. It's not just a one-way street. It's both ways. I'm encouraged. I can encourage others. I get to hear a message when under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that could liberate me, that could build me up, that could bring a deliverance in my life at a particular moment when it's so desperately needed. There are lots of good reasons to go. So my mind says to my emotions, you don't get a vote. We're going. And then sometimes the emotions say, well, we're going to make you miserable. And we respond to that by saying, that's fine. But then we get to church. And oftentimes the emotions say, hey, thanks for bringing us. I just wanted to say thank you, because that was good. I needed that.
I'm glad you didn't listen to us.
I'm glad that we didn't get a vote. I mean, this is how we operate in life. Because if led by our emotions, it's going to be a catastrophe. There's a key word here in that passage that we mentioned in 1 Samuel chapter 30. It's, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord in verse 6. He called for the priest, Ahimelech's son, and he called to have prayer. And then, verse 8, and David inquired of the Lord. There it is. This was the habit of David's life. You could go through 1 Samuel, and what you will discover, even into 2 Samuel, is that this was the nature of David's life. He inquired of the Lord. He inquired. Repeatedly, it says that, until 2 Samuel chapter 11, and it says David inquired about this woman named Bathsheba. And then he stopped inquiring of God. And of course, he invited great trouble into his life. So if we can develop this habit of inquiring of the Lord, when our emotions say, you know, you're done, you're finished, there's no hope for you, all it takes is inquiring of the Lord. Maybe that means I get up and I drag myself to church. You know, I get myself to that Bible study. I make it a point to be a part of that prayer meeting. I purpose in my heart that I'm going to be with other believers. I'm not going to find a group of people that have similar challenges. In other words, if somebody is down and disquieted within their souls. I might not seek them out. I might seek out those that are, you know, fellowshipping with God, that have this uplook, not an a bleak outlook, but an uplook. They just keep turning to God despite everything that happens to them. Because, again, sometimes our lives bring us to the brink of the Red Sea, and there's nothing we can do except wait upon God and give him some room to work.
Yes, how true. And God is always faithful. Sometimes those crisis situations are the best thing that ever happened to us, because we get to, you know, we proved God, like it or not, and God showed himself faithful. Pastor Love, there's another verse here right in line with what you're saying. Also, from Psalm 42, which is it's called the Maskil of the Sons of Korah. So I understand that means like a teaching or an instructive psalm. And then he asks this question to his emotions, to his soul. Why, it's twice in this psalm, why are you cast down? You go, what's soul, what's up? What's up, what's going on? What's the problem? Because this is what's happening. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Isn't you're making a lot of noise. And cast down means like depressed, heavy, low. Well, what's going on? And what's all the psychic noise going on in there? And then he just doesn't really psychoanalyze himself. He just gives the answer. He goes, hope in God. That's the answer. Just hope in God. And because this is the reason why. For I shall again praise him, my salvation, my deliverance, the one who's going to take me out of this pit of despair, the one who's going to quiet the psychic noise, the one who's going to lift me out of this depression. I'm just making a statement. He says here, we could say, that I will praise you. That's where I'm going with this. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation, my deliverer, and my God. That's it.
That's everything.
So that's where you just, that's a pretty short counseling session right there.
Yeah, yes, but the results are so wonderful. Yeah, you know, as you were saying that, you know, where is my hope? I'm thinking of the prophet Jeremiah. And when he wrote the book of Lamentations, you talk about a desperate condition. You talk about somebody that's on the verge of an emotional breakdown. Listen to what some of the thoughts that he shared. Lamentations chapter 3. He begins by saying, I am a man that hath seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. He led me and brought me into darkness, not into light. Surely against me he has turned, and he turns his hand against me all day. My flesh and my skin he has made old. He has broken my bones. He has builded against me, compassed me about with gall and travail. He has set me in a dark place, hedged me about in verse 7. When I cry in verse 8, he shuts out my prayer. This goes on for 20 verses. I mean, it gets so bad. He says, you know, he's broken my teeth with gravel stones and covered me with ashes. And finally, in verse 18, he says, in my strength and my hope has perished from before the Lord. And then, verse 21, but this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. I mean, he had to allow his mind to step in and confront his emotions. And when he did, this is where he found his hope. It's because of God's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will have hope in him. And the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and the soul that seeks him. He went from hopeless to hopeful. And it all happened because he flipped the switch. He turned off his emotion, so to speak, and he turned on his mind, and his mind thought about God. You know, obviously, God had deposited truth within the prophet's soul for many, many years. He said that in his, well, the book that bears his name, Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, I did eat them, your word was unto me, the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So he had those words in him, but his emotions were getting the best of him. I mean, if he was in a 15-round fight with his emotions, this was round one, and he was about to be knocked out. But then he recalled to his mind. And I think that this is so vital. This is what David did. This is what Jeremiah did. This is what Job did. This is what we do. We have got to recall to our minds who God is, what he's done for us, what he thinks about us. And this just, it just makes all the difference in our lives.
It's amazing how he did take the time to articulate his hurt. He didn't just keep stuffing it and pretending it wasn't there. It came to the point where he poured it out. He poured out his complaint to the Lord. And it's been recorded for us to read. But it seems like after he emptied his soul of his complaint and of his lament and his hurt and his pain, after that, okay, then he shifted immediately to God. It's like, okay, well, this only goes so far over here. I hit the bottom of express my heart and my complaint, but now, God, you're my hope. This is what it is, and I can't change it, but I'm turning to you.
Mm. Yeah.
Can it be any other way?
No. And the end of the story for David in 1 Samuel 30 is that when he inquired of the Lord, he asked him, shall we pursue our enemies, and will we recover our women and children? And God said, pursue, and you will recover all. And they did.
They did.
And they got everything back. So does it pay, so to speak? Is it worth the effort to make that shift from potentially our emotions ruining us, troubling us, keeping us from experiencing the blessing of God in our lives, to trusting God, inquiring of him, seeking him? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's something that we have to learn to do in life. But I agree with you. I'm so glad that he was able to articulate it all, and he poured it all out, because we can take comfort from that. Because sometimes we, as you go back to the point of being isolated, we can think, I'm the only one who thinks this way. I'm the only one that has these troubles. I'm the only one that's dealing with problems like this. When God says, no, open my word, you'll see that I had many servants that dealt with so many similar things, and it made a big difference.
And I think it's good for believers to know that, yes, they can pour their heart out to God, and they should. But also, sometimes God puts a mature believer in our life that they can also pour their complaint out to. And with the view of, well, I need help, and this is what's going on, and let me share this with you, because I got to share it. And that's okay, because it's not to complain for complaining's sake. It's to complain because I'm carrying this around. It's killing me, and I need to share it with you, and maybe you can help me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We bear
one another's burdens.
Yeah.
That's so vital. Well, Damien has written to us, and he sent us an email. He said, I find that when I'm sick physically, I have a harder time making good decisions and thinking positive thoughts. What can I do to not fall into a pit when my body is not well? Pastor Hadley, we can talk about that, but I want to say, I hear what you're saying, Damien, that this, I fall potentially into that same pit. I'm the same way. I understand completely what he's saying, because when you're not physically well, it does seem that, you know, it's a much greater challenge to set your affection on the things that are of God and the things that are above, because you're so occupied with what's happening here below on the earth, and you're physically not well. Any counsel for him at this time?
Depending on the situation, of course, every situation is unique. But it's helpful for us to be able to do what we can. you know, not to push too hard, but to, you know, maybe we're not feeling well, but there's one day where we feel a little bit more strength. Maybe to go for a walk would be very therapeutic, just to get outside and breathe some fresh air. And I know it's this has been a hot couple of weeks we're in, but just to be able to get up and do something can have great benefits. Sometimes, even if you're able to rearrange the furniture in the room that you're in all the time, sometimes just a different perspective and looking at things, that there's a change that has happened. Sometimes just that little change, put a new picture on the wall. All those little practical things can make a little difference that could be enough to cause our outlook to change, that could spark a little encouragement. And of course, prayer, calling a friend, or finding someone maybe who's even, you know, sicker than you are, or kind of in a similar situation, to call them and say, hey, I was just thinking about you and thought maybe we could pray together for a few minutes. That can be a great game changer. Instead of focusing on our hurts, we look think about someone else who's hurting as much or maybe more than us, and then after we've done that, we go, for some strange reason, I don't feel as bad as I did before. So all those are little, I think, tips that can help. The exercise, rearranging things in the room, putting a new picture up, doing something that's going to introduce a sense of change and a sense of improvement. All those little things can help us.
Amen. Well, the phone lines are open, friends. A great opportunity for you to join us if you'd like. We hope you will. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. In all of North America and locally here in the Baltimore area, you can join us at 410-483-3700. We have plenty of time to take your call, so don't hesitate. Go to your phones right away and join us live. Take a look at some of the comments that have come into us today. Lisa says, GGWO, Greater Grace World Outreach has brought such freedom and joy and love into my lives. Thank you. Well, thank you, Lisa. Appreciate that. Pastor Jason has reached out to us. It's a great broadcast. Please continue to pray for Josh Goody. They went to, again, he's been hospitalized for quite some time now. They went to remove a stomach tube last night, and he was quite sick, quite ill, vomiting through the night. They had to put it back in. Please pray for a step forward in his health and that he would be able to start to receive water and eventually food. Father, we pray for this young man. We have been praying. We continue to pray. It's almost as if his intestines, since this surgical procedure, have not awakened and they're not functioning. We pray today in the precious name of Jesus. We pray that you would touch him physically, and may those intestines begin to work. May he begin to receive water, food, and we pray that he would move forward in the direction of good health. Lord, please, this young man has been through a lot of pain. It's been quite a struggle for him, and we ask that you would bring healing to his body today in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And Tess has written to us also, says, thank God he alone is the sole solution from our human troubles. Amen. And many of you, such as Deborah and Belinda, have reached out to us. Thank you. And Marion says, thanks, Pastor Hadley. You're right. Talking to a mature person in the faith is sometimes so helpful. Amen. And Anna Pinkova will be praying for you. She contracted COVID-19, so Father, bring healing to her body as well, and our prayer is that she would recover from that infection quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. You can join us, again, as we mentioned a moment ago, at 800-338-7060. That's toll-free, and locally, 410-483-3700. Pastor Duke Horton, who also has been hospitalized at Johns Hopkins Hospital here in the Baltimore area for a couple of weeks now, even longer than that, is joining us live. Pastor Duke, how are you?
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Hadley. I'm still breathing, so I'm okay. Hey, I'm calling because I heard the previous caller's question about what do you do when you are just so sick, you just don't feel like doing anything. And I just wanted to mention, I just had this thought that when Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come in John's Gospel, the very first time he described him, he said, the Comforter. And I just wanted to point out to, I'm sure you may have already discussed this, but in the Psalms when it says, he makes my bed when I'm sick, that the Holy Spirit is so personal to us, and that when we're unable, when we feel we're unable to even maybe draw near to God, if we just say a short prayer to the Lord, you know, Lord, I just need you. I need your comfort. He sends his comfort in many different ways, through people, through a phone call, through a visit, but nothing can substitute just the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit comforting us. And I think that to just be able to just rest in God's love for you personally when you're not well, and to realize that there's absolutely no condemnation if you are unable to do anything, but just be, you know, just be at rest and just know that God is sustaining you. His faithfulness is present right with us. And I want to just encourage everybody out there to know that he is so personal, and he is so real, and he's so faithful to us when we're sick. And this gentleman, I just want him to know I'm praying for him, that God would minister to him and that he would sense God's personal comfort and presence, because that really is what makes the difference. And, you know, just thinking about Christ, I had this thought yesterday. I was on the phone with Pastor Suhas and his precious wife, Anna, who I love so much. And I said, you know, Jesus, when he was on the cross, excuse me, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But when you read the sayings of what he said on the cross, he never asked for mercy when he was on the cross. And the reason why he didn't is so that we, through his finished work, would receive unlimited, immeasurable mercy in our time of need.
Wow. Yeah, that's beautiful.
And that's incredible.
It is. But Pastor Duke, sometimes I like what you said. Sometimes there's nothing that we can do except just let God love us.
Amen.
So, thank you so much for the call. We have to take our next caller, but we're thinking of you, brother, praying for you. And we know that God doesn't waste any opportunities when it comes to our lives. No time, even in illness, is wasted. We know that God is going to use it and redeem it in your life.
Thank you. I so love you. And Pastor Hadley, I love you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Pastor
Duke. God bless you. Let's go to Indiana next. Deborah has been waiting to speak to us on the Grace Hour. Hi, Debbie, and welcome.
Hi. Thank you, both of you pastors. Thank you so much. I just had a question. I'm in God. I love him with all I have, and I want to do good. And the point is, I deal with depression, and I'm taking care of my mother with dementia. And I found myself the other night having the worst thoughts of myself. And I know all that matters is what God thinks. And God brought me through, and I knew He would. He brings me through everything. I'm so blessed. But the point is, I'm always judged, which it does. I know it doesn't matter, but it does bother me that I'm so judged by the people that know me because I have depression and want to do and think like I think sometimes. And I know people in the Bible even had depression. I mean, I don't know if you can answer that, help me with that or not.
Yes. I'm wondering about your situation, how much of a burden you're carrying, taking care of your mom, if you get relief, if you get a break, which is so necessary if it's all on you and it's just really weighing you down. We could understand feeling depressed and like there's no answer and no way out. So I guess that's number one. Can you get some relief so that you get to leave the house and actually, yes.
I'm getting relief now, but the point is my family, I have six other siblings and they're always against me. And they want her to just be with anybody to take care of her. And I'm like a protector. And it's like I'm trying to do it all. So it's like, I can't. And I found out I can't do it.
Well,
and I feel like God wanted me to take care of her. And that's why He saved me back in 2018. And I really want prayer for my mother because, you know, it's just mind-blowing because she thinks things, you know. She thinks that you're hurting her and stuff when all I do is love her, but she can't help it.
Do the other siblings, do they take their turn helping?
No, and they won't come see her. They barely call her, and it hurts me.
But they don't want you to take care of her? Is that what you're telling us?
At first they didn't want me. And when she was at another one's house, they just all come against me because I wanted mom taken care of right, and they didn't care as long as they could get their free time.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it would be well worth trying to get everybody together and hopefully trying to get everybody on the same page when it comes to helping your mom, because if it's too overwhelming, perhaps, and we don't know because we don't know the particulars, Debbie, but perhaps it is too much for you. Maybe it is overwhelming. Maybe you do need some help, and maybe they need to step up and get more involved. I mean, I don't know, but it just seems like for you to carry this burden by yourself, sounds like it's a bit too much.
They refuse to, but I know God will get me through it. But I mean, it's like, for instance, my son even asked me, how can you be a godly woman and have to think like that? And that really, really hurt me because I know I'm with God. I know He gets me through everything.
Yes. My eyes fall upon Psalm 77:2-3. It says, when I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. Of course, he changes that a few verses later, but this is his experience. He's not desirous to talk with God. He feels depressed and down, but then he ends up just saying, I will let me remember my song in the night. Wait a minute, I've been here before. I've been through this. I got out of this. Let me think about how that worked. And now he's starting to go back and reevaluate and use his spiritual assets to change this whole situation. So, you know, just because you feel down and depressed, well, welcome to being a human being. We all go through times like that. But I think if you can get some relief, if you can, I don't know if this has kept you from your church and from fellowship, which is also a contributing factor to you not feeling very optimistic. What are you able to get out to church and to meet with other believers and hear the word?
I don't have a church pastor, but that's my fault. And I isolated myself before my mother came. It's all my fault.
Okay, but you can, but okay, but there's a, you know, don't let that now weigh heavy on you. Just be encouraged. And there are answers to these challenges, and it's just one step at a time. So there is a way out, and God has good things planned for you. But if you could, you know, get some help for your mom and then prayerfully, you know, find a church to go to and see how that works out. And if the first one you visit doesn't seem like the right one, then you can try another one, and God will be faithful to lead you where you're supposed to be. You'll make new friends, you'll find support, and you will all of a sudden realize that God is answering your cry, and he is sending relief both for your mom and for you personally to be built up and to have a family of God that you can go to that will be your refuge, that will be a constant encouragement to you.
Yes, and I know God loves me right regardless. He loves me, takes this mess as I am.
That's right. That's right. Well, Deborah, we have to close the broadcast, but we'll pray with you, okay?
Thank you.
Father, we pray for Deborah and these needs that she's shared with us today and with our listeners as well. So all of us together as the body of Christ pray that you would give her tremendous capacity to continue to take care of her mother with the dementia that she has, and again fill Deborah with your spirit, give her good health, and remind her, Lord, of just how valuable she is to you, and how that the thoughts that you have about her outnumber the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. It's just another way of saying you can't stop thinking about Deborah. So cover her, bless her, strengthen her as she continues to take care of her mom. We pray that the family would also at some point get on board and work together to be there for their mom. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Bless you.
Keep listening to us, would you, Deborah?
Yes, I do.
Good.
Thank you.
God bless you. George, we apologize. Didn't have time to take your call, but we can do that next week. Friends, we hope you have a great weekend. We're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll join you, God willing, next week for a brand new week of broadcasting right here on The Grace Hour.